संहिताम वंदे गुरुपरंपरां श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानां आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पादशंकरं लोकशंकरं शंकरं शंकराचार्यं केशवं नादरायणं सूत्रभाषकृतौ वंदे भगवन्तः पुनः पुनः हरिः ओं तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओं सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। So we are discussing Sankhya Yoga of chapter 2 of the Bhagavad Gita. Sankhya itself denotes Jnana, or Jnana Yoga is being discussed here. So the Lord of the Krishna is unfolding his vision of what is the nature of the body, nature of the Atma, and how do we understand these two aspects together. We all know that the body and the Atma, or the Dehi and Deha, cannot be separated physically. So one has to understand this cognitively through the understanding of Nitya Anitya Vastu Viveka. There are several prakriya or methods used in the Upanishad, in the Bhagavad Gita also. One of the discussion here is the Dehi Dehatma Buddhi, which I have been seeing in the last couple of verses. Notable among them is the Vasamsi Jirna Yata Guhaya, where the clothes of the body is compared as to clothes. Just like the person wears a new clothes, and when it gets worn, it's being given out and the new body takes away. The same way, the body also takes its own course. It is only in the vision of the onlooker or in the vision of the person, the clothes is always new. In the Vedanta, we always say that death is only for the body and death is a change. There is nothing that is created, nothing gets destroyed physically here, because there is no creation. So death is a change, and if you think that death is going to be like an event which is going to happen, it is not, because we actually gradually deteriorate a period of time. Death is actually approaching us physically, the body is not the same as you. See, we should not be as students of Vedanta. One must not be afraid of death, because what is death? Death is the end of the prarabdha karma for that person. The Dehi may want to continue to live. See, the Dehi, which is inside the body, may want to continue to live. But the Deha has to leave, because the Deha has already preordained. It has come with a set of prarabdha karma and it has to go one day. So it departs. It goes back to the what? It goes back to the five elements. Our own body has got the five elements. So we got air, which is the prana. We got the apaha, which is water. And so just like the five elements it got, space it got, fire, which is Vaishwanaraha, which is, you know, the fire also is called Vaishwanaraha. Aham Vaishwanaro Bhutva. So the fire which is burning in the body, which is inside our stomach, which actually is able to digest anything. You can put anything there, get digested. So just like this, when the whole body is cremated, goes back into the five elements. So there's nothing to be worried about death, or also when you see somebody's death happening, it can be premature or can be at a particular time of death also. One definitely has got a physical attachment or emotional attachment at that point of time. So there is a grieving to some extent. But that grieving should not continue forever or for a lengthy period of time, because if you don't study the Shastra, if you don't study this truth, one will always be emotionally bound. It is guaranteed. You will not be able to think of anything about this, because you don't even know who is a Dehi, what is Atma, what is consciousness, what is the Sambandha between these two. So when such a person sees death, or then there's naturally a lot of emotional turbulence in the mind, because suddenly the person is not there. When you see a person, you see him physically as a person, right? So if you see a person physically and see him as a body, physical body, naturally the body is going to go, right? And you have only a vision of only the body. So you are a Dehatma Buddhi, the other person you see also is Dehatma. So both Dehatma Buddhi will see each other, they are the same order of reality. So naturally there will be always some sort of mental turbulence will be there. So here what Krishna says here is that the Sharira and the Deha, there are two, both are same. The Shariram is something which is to be cremated, and the Deham which is there, which is goes through gradual destruction, means it actually deteriorates period of time. So it's always a change. First there's a change, and then it goes back to the elements. So you see a change. So very important to know these two things. Shariram and Deha, they are both common. They are both said, same. But Shariram is that which goes into the brain, into the cremation. There's a Deha which is there, which deteriorates over a period of time. We cannot be looking young all the time, right? We had our own share of enjoyment when we were young, and even now we are enjoying how we are. And we'll continue to be like this, gradually we'll grow older. And one day, so this is called a change. The change is already happening. But what we don't notice it, or we don't accept the change. Very difficult, right, to accept the change. We want to be always young, always be the same as what we are, and live in the past as we are. You want to relive how you were in school days. You want to relive how you were in college days. But in reality, you cannot live like this, because even if you want to, see, you are a 53-year-old person, with the mind of a 53-year-old person, right? And if you try to live like a 22-year-old person or an 18-year-old boy or girl, will it make sense is the question. Even though you want to live like this, you cannot live like this, right? Because your thought process has changed. So one has to realize that these things has to be left behind, past, and one has to continue to move on and accept things as they are in the current. So this is what the Krishna says here, that everything is subject to change and nothing can be prevented. So you accept this as a satyam, truth. And when you reconcile to the fact that this body which is there, it is impermanent, it is anitya, it is not always available. It is available only till the karma which you are, the prarabdha is there for you, will be there. Once it is finished, next set of karma will come and then it continues to be. So this is what we have seen so far. So we are verse 24, correct? So in the last verse we saw that how the Atma can be understood. See, first of all, the Atma or the consciousness we call, or the reality, lots of words we can describe. Existence is another word. What is existence? Is Sat. Sat is called existence. That which is lending existence to everything is called the Sat. It does not need any other support, but it lends support to everything else here. The whole of the Jagat which is there, manifested, is actually is lending existence to what? Is Sat. And Sat is Chit. Chit is what? Consciousness. And Chit is Sat. So there's no difference between the two. Lots of names you call. We call it awareness, called pure knowledge, consciousness, existence. But all of them, they denote the same thing. There's no difference. Ultimately, for example, there is nothing called, you cannot even describe this also. If something can be described, then it is actually also known to you. If I say a cow, you already know what is a cow. The cow vritti has to be there first. You must be having a knowledge about what is a cow. Then only you will know. The cow form and shape is already visualized by you. So likewise, if you look at first consciousness, how will you say? Is there a form for it? Or if I say awareness or pure knowledge, how will you describe it? How will you visualize it? Because there's no words to describe it. Every object other than the one which is there, which is revealed, everything is revealed, is all known to you. You have everything is Nama Rupa, all the objects. You can count anything. You can take a chair, you take a table, it has got its own name, form, and function. Right? Say a table has got a name, right? It's got a form, it's got what, one top, four legs. And so what is its function? It's writing table, it's writing. So you take any object in this universe, any object, including you, physical body. A physical body like ours, what do you have? We call it our name is there, correct? So you can have Shankar, you can have Suresh, you can have Uma, or Kamakshi, or whoever you want. You got a name there. Then you got a form. What form you got? You got a form like you say that, okay, I'm a man, I'm a woman, I'm short, I'm tall, I got glasses, I got white hair, I got black hair. All these things are what? Form. And there's a function for it. What function? You interact with the universe. So you do things, you do karma. So your body is used for doing something. So you can imagine that you as a knower itself has got these Vedas. You itself has got all these distinctions are there. Then everything else is universe which you are identifying. Definitely will be having Nama Rupas. Can anything be else outside of you? You as a knower has got these three different, you know, functions, like Nama Rupa and functions are there. Then everything which is known to you, outside of you, also has got the same problem. And we already say that these are mithya, known to you. So you are also mithya, right? Because the body is known to you. Through the body only, sense organs only, you are able to see everything else. So when you dismiss the other things, you are also part of the same srishti, same structure, same order of reality. Thereby, you also negate the body. Ultimately, so there is a now called a knower, which is you. There is a known, which is the objects which are there. Two things are there. Both these things are known by whom? In what knowledge? There is knowledge of those things. That's why you're able to see these two things, right? You're able to identify the knower as you and the objects as the known. Supposing if I tell you that, you also have to consider you are also smithya. This is called death. Death of the knower. ultimately in Advaitam, knower, knowledge known is merged into knowledge. This nothing called a knower separate apart from knowledge. The knower is also an upadhi for the knowledge to reflect. The knowledge cannot reflect without the knower being there. At the same time, the knower also has to be resolved into knowledge. This is called the real death. If I imagine, say, if I tell you, you are not there. You know, you're afraid, right? What if I am not there, what I'm going to do? If I am not there, what will happen to me? The I sense comes into picture, correct? The ultimate I comes into picture. So Shastram says the I sense also has to be resolved in knowledge. You as the I sense, aham, is there. Aham kritiki, that also has to be resolved in knowledge. Thereby, the knower also is not there anymore. It's only pure knowledge. So it's a different topic. But what we are trying to do is, Krishna just goes to the first. He just tells you that, first of all, Arjuna, understand. There's nothing like to be destroyed here. Everything comes and goes on its own accord. Like, I think one of the examples the Swamiji used to quote, they say that, you know, the king of the, you know, Trivandrum, he was a rich person. So he will actually wear clothes every day. Every day there will be a change of clothes. He will never wear an old clothes. Every day there will be only fresh set of clothes. And the old set of clothes will be given it to somebody else. For that person, it's a new clothes for him. But even though this king is changing clothes every day also, he's only changing only the physical appearance of the body. He's not changing anything inside the body. Inside the body deteriorates. Just the way it is. The king will become, one day the king also dies. So what is the use of all these things? It doesn't mean that one should not, you know, dress up properly. One should not say that, you know, I'm just a physical body. Why do you need to dress up? Shaucham is one of the key aspects in Granta, one of the values of values. Shaucham means cleanliness. The body has to be physically clean, also mental pureness. Kayikam, vachikam, manasam, karma. So whatever you do, whatever you think, right, and what you execute has to be clean. So because the dehi or the ultimate person sitting inside has to be also be given due respect. So we have been going through the different aspects of the Atma, and the last class on the saw, verse 23. Dainam chintanti shastrani. So this Atma or this Dehi which is there, chintanti means do not slay. It doesn't cut or it doesn't kill anything. So there's no act of killing. Any weapons cannot kill it. Na enam dahati pavakaha. Even the fire also cannot burn it. See, the fire can burn the physical body, but the fire cannot burn the internal dehi which is there. Because this dehi which is there, which is inside, deep inside the body, is something which is imperceptible for common person. If you can identify, if it's got attribute, then only you can cut. See, a physical body has got attributes. You've got arm, leg, eyes, ears. Every part is different. Sajati Veda. Everything is different, so it can be cut. But if a person has got no attributes, you cannot describe it. How will you know what to cut? Chapter 2, verse 23. So, na enam chintanti shastrani, na enam dhati pavakaha. So, pavakaha is called a fire. Na cha enam kledyan tapaha. Means that cannot be drowned also, or can be got wet. It is not something that can be, say, if you go out in the rain, your body will get wet. but your clothes may get wet, but your internal atma cannot be wet, because it doesn't again be, it's got no attributes, it's got nothing to say. How can you get wet? You cannot even perceive it, you cannot even describe it. So if you can't describe it with words, how can it, you know, be effective anything? Then na shoshayati marutaha. So marutaha, even the wind also cannot dry it. If you get wet in the rain, and after some time, you know, like, you know, the weather in Australia can be, sometimes can be raining, it can be sunny, then you just go with the wet clothes, it get dried automatically. But this atma cannot be even dried by wind also, because wind, this is nature. So wind also is actually part of atma only. The five elements are also within, has got time bond. So how can something which is already time bond can affect anything? So the five elements, the pancha bhuta which is there, they are also reflection of reality. Just like the space cannot cut anything else. See, we have to understand two things. The same order of reality can affect. A person, a physical body can cut a physical body. The same order of reality is there. Which is vyavarika jiva, the transactional people. But if there are two order of different reality, rumble space is of different reality than water. Can space draw water? Or can water affect space? Because they are of two different realities. Neither the wind can actually consume space. The wind actually moves within space only. The wind actually moves within space. The fire also cannot extinguish the water, because so they are all of different reality and they exist independently. But all these five also are a manifestation of the same reality, which is the ultimate reality of existence. So this is the vision which is given in the Upanishad. As I told you, the Bhagavad Gita is actually 70% is coming from the Katha Upanishad, which you will see sometime later. So after we finish this, probably some of you will graduate into Mundaka Upanishad, then Kena Upanishad, then Katha Upanishad. At that time, you will see the similarities between Yama and Nachiketa, where it discusses these aspects. So far, we have got an idea about. The atma being different from the physical body, it is something which cannot be perceived, cannot be killed or can be cut, cannot be drowned, it cannot be dried. So the way you understand is that by understanding the anityam, then you understand nityam. You cannot say that I understand nityam and then you look at anityam. From anityam you deduce, and then you come to arrive at the nityam, or which is the truth. Just like, you know, you have the wave and the form and the foam, right? And you got the water. Without the water, the nama rupa doesn't exist. If you take away the water, the wave and the foam doesn't have independent existence. Just like this, our physical body also, if I take away the sakshi or the existence reality, you don't exist. This is called death. But the atma, the reality, continues to exist. Right? The water will be there all the time. The water will not go away. But the form, rupam, and the functions of the water will disappear or will get merged into ultimately water. It's very subtle, but what we are understand is same example now you apply to the deha also, or our body also. Our body also, as I told you, is the same nama rupa karma. So it has got name, form and function. And this name, form and function will will not be there when the dehi is, when the dehi is not there. It will get burst. So when, so that's why even when you, same example, you try to stretch it to the same thing, this namarupa will disappear. So cognitively you have to understand that, you know, this gets merged into the ultimate atma, the consciousness or the dehi, the ultimate reality, distance. Okay. So now we continue with our journey into understanding more about atma. So Krishna here gives more examples. At the end of this chapter, maybe one of you can summarize all the, like previous my student Natarajan used to summarize the class. He used to list down all the attributes of atma or consciousness. He will, there are lots of, you know, qualities or attributes, you can say. As to how do you distinguish what are the characteristics? Say, it does not break, it does not get drowned, it does not get cut. It's important words. So one of you can summarize. For your own mananam and nidhyasam, you can do that. So we'll go to verse 24. Achedyoyam adyayoham. Achedyoyam adyayoham. Akletyoshosya evacha. Akletyoshosya evacha. Nityasarvagatastanuhu. Nityasarvagatastanuhu. Achalam yam sanatanaha, achalam yam sanatanaha, achedyoyam adayohyam, akletyoshosya evacha, nityasarvagatastanuhu, achaloyam sanatanaha. So I am, achedyo, I am. So the word, you take the I am first. This. So I am means this. Or what is the topic of interest? This means the atma which has been discussed. So this atma which is there. Achedyaha. So chindanti is another word called chedyaha. This cannot be slain. Cannot be slain means also another word for killing also. So it cannot be killed. Then adhyaha. Adhyaha means like, so it can't be burnt. It cannot be burnt also. So there we saw dhati pavakaha. Here he uses a word called adhyaha. Adhyaha means cannot be burnt. So it cannot be physically burnt. Akledhyaha cannot be drowned. So he uses different words in different verses. There we saw, in the previous verse, we saw Kledyan Tapaha, right? Do not wet. So the word is called wet in Kledyan Tapaha, means that doesn't get wet. Here he uses the word Akledyo, means cannot be drowned. So it cannot be drowned also. Getting wet is one thing and getting drowned also is another thing. Then ashoshya evacha, it cannot be dried. So different words. So the first sentence is a repetition of the previous words in a different order. Same example is given. Achedyaha is called nainam chindanti. So you mark it like this. Achedyaha naina evam chindanti. Then adhyaha dahati pavakaha. Akledyo is actually connected to Kledyam Tapaha. So he has just connected these three verses, three aspects in a different order. Then the next line, he gives the vision of the Atma. What he says, Nityam, that which is available always. There's not a time when it's not available. So when you say availability, it means that which is permanent. See, you as a knower or the experiencer is always there all the time, in all the three different states. The best way to understand this is to analyze the three states of experience. In the waking state, you as a knower is already there, you are always there. Because in the wake of you knowing only, things are, all the objects are seen by you. The sense organs, rupam, drishyam, lochanam, drakya, tadrishyam, drattumanas, drishyadi vrittayaha, sakshi, evanatu drishyate. We saw rupam, drishyam, lochanam, drakya. So, rupam, drishyam. So, this eyes are able to see. Tadrishyam, drittu, manasam. So, the mind is the seer for all the sense organs. Right? And the intellect, or the hum, is actually sitting on top. It actually controls the mind also. But, sakshi, natu, drishyat. So, the sakshi which is there, it cannot be seen. But, it can be understood cognitively only. Like my same example here is Nitya, because it is available always with you. In the waking state, it is available with you. The dream state, physical body is not there. The physical body is not there means physical body cannot be done, you cannot do anything. Know that. But your thoughts are there. Your dream thoughts are being woven. And you as a experiencer is already enjoying all these things in the Pratibhasika model or reflectional model. So there also, how do you know? Because when you wake up from sleep in the morning, you are able to tell, my God, I had a very bad dream. I was chased by lions, I was chased by elephants, I was climbing a big tree. All these things which you cannot do in normal waking state, you are able to do in dream state. And dreams are nothing but a reflection of what is happening in the waking state. It is something which you have seen, which you have heard, which you have experienced it, but something has gone dormant. And these things come at night in some form. It has got no correlation. If you say, for example, it is come as physical order, it doesn't come. Even the arrangement of the order also is known to you. Because you know how to dream also. Supposing if you want to dream, if you keep thinking about an object all the time, say, you know, there are two people who are in love with each other. The person will dream. Whatever he couldn't do last night dream, will continue, because next day morning again will meet her or him and they'll continue. So that dream will continue to be there. So whatever, it's not possible. So just like the example what I've given you, it also happens to us in daily life. We meet so many people in our walks of life, so many people. Some things materialize, something don't. We don't like somebody, you know, we like some certain things. And we want to enjoy the experience. So that experience also comes in your dream state. But you do not know it. You as a knower, so when you're dreaming, you don't even know that you're dreaming. Right? How do you know when you're dreaming? When you wake up only when you know that you're dreaming. Or when something really happens to you, you're sweating. You wake up. Then the dream disappears. At that time, the waker is there. Correct? The waker is there as you, as a knower. In the dream state, you are also there as a knower. Because when you woke up, you are able to say that, my God, I had a bad dream, let me go and drink a glass of water and come back. Then again you go to sleep. Then you get a very deep sleep. You don't wake up till 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning. Then what do you say? You wake up, I had a bad dream, then I had a glass of water. You also remember that also. And then you also remember that you had a good sleep also. So all these three things are happening simultaneously. the Sakshi doesn't, or the Atma doesn't say that, let me go to sleep with you. He or she, the Atma, first of all, doesn't sleep with you, doesn't wake up. It's always there with you. It never sleeps, it never dreams, never wakes. You only dream. Right. Sakshi nato drishyate. So that's why drishya viveka is very important. Understand. It's a prakriya, it's a method. So when you study the Bhagavad Gita with drishya viveka, you will be able to see how the mind works. Otherwise, if you just study the Bhagavad Gita, it will give you the vision. But drishya viveka is actually more detailed. It goes into the abstract of the subtlest of the mind. How does your mind work? Right. And how does the mind see? Right. One eye is able to see multiple colors. It doesn't multiply, you know, as 100 different colors. Right. How? Because only one eye is there. Likewise, one Atma is there, one consciousness is there. But it appears to be in different forms, different rupam and drishyam. Same thing says here, nityam. When you say nityam, it's available for, it's available all the time. There's never a time when it is sleeping. There's never a time when it is not available for experience. And you experience it what? Through your body, mind, sense, complex. Because without the upadhi, this Atma, you cannot even know. So it's very important that you, just like everything else, you need to have a manifesting medium. Other example you can also look at is the mirror example. If you look at yourself in the mirror reflects your own face, right? And you see your face. Whichever your face you are there, it will reflect. But if you take off the mirror, only the reflection is gone. Right? But you as the ultimate knower, you as the original face self remains. The original face doesn't disappear, right? Only the reflection is gone. Likewise, the reflection model which we saw in the dream state, the waking state, all of there are only projection. They are only projection of what it is. The thoughts are being projected in the waking state. The thoughts are projected in the dream state. And in the deep sleep state, there are no thoughts because the thoughts also get merged into the unknown. There are no more thoughts because the manifesting medium is not there. The mind is not functional anymore. In the waking state and dream state, the mind is functional. Thereby, you are able to see. So nityam. Then sarvagata. Sarvagata means all pervading. Sarvagata means all pervading. It actually pervades everything. There's not a single object in this universe which is not pervaded by this reality. Existence is what? That which lends existence to everything else. It gives borrowing power. Just other people borrow existence from this pure existence. And it continues to reflect. So this is called the sarvagataha, means it's all pervading, is available in every object, whether it is mobile, immobile, movable, immovable, plant, animals. We saw in the Marisha Panchakam also, some of you attended in the class last 2 years, 1.5 years ago, that right from a small ant till Brahmaji, this is consistently available. So even for small ant also there is consciousness, but it is reflected in that upadhi only. Okay, so we cannot say that there is no Atma there or consciousness not there. It is there, but it's not available for manifesting because it cannot listen. Even the table has got existence, right? Existing, asti. Asti, bhati, priyam. So it's existing first, then it shines, then they should dear to you also. So you exist, asti. Then what you do, pati, you shine. How do you shine? You shine through the subtle organs, sense organs, subtle sense organs power the cross body. Subtle mind is powered by the mind. Mind is powered by the consciousness. The order. So, bhati. Then you also like it. Priyam. You enjoy it. Anandaha. So, whatever you experience is enjoyment. You like certain things. So sarvagataha. So, this is pervading everything. It's actually available everywhere for experience. There's nothing, no place where you can say that it's not available. Sarvagataha. An example which Swamiji used to give is that a person was traveling by plane from, say, Sydney to India. He thinks, for example, he's traveling, but he says, okay, what will happen if you land at the airport? But when he lands at the airport, this Atma is the conscious, already there. It's not that he's going to land along, he's already landed, it's already there. There's nothing, how can it say that it's already there? Because it's not separate. Your body doesn't travel separate. Your Atma doesn't travel separate. It actually goes wherever it is. See the example. You go from here, from Bombay to Coimbatore by train. You say what? I went. I comes into picture. So your I also means what? Your Atma also was going along with that. It's already there, sarvagataha. It's actually there in every place. Can you say that I left my Atma in Bombay and then I went only with the body to Coimbatore? No. It's part and parcel of it. So it is available for you all the time. It's called Nityam. And sarvagataha means it's actually pervading every object, everywhere. There's not a place available where you cannot perceive it or experience it. But you should have a divya drishti. You should know how the vision to see it. Or you should have the vision to enjoy it, see it in that manner. Then sthanu. Sthanu means what? It's actually very, very firm. It doesn't move. This is stable. It doesn't shake. If you think your body is shaking, your Atma doesn't shake. If you dance, your Atma doesn't dance. The action of dance also is actually only a reflection of the consciousness. So sthanu means it doesn't move, it doesn't, it's fixed, it doesn't go anywhere, it's just there. Then achalaha, immovable. So it doesn't move from place to place. You can move from, you know, from your office to somebody else and you say your body is moving. But you cannot say that Atma is moving. Atma is only one, but only your reflection, the upadhi, moves from place to place. Because the Atma, the consciousness, is pervading sarvagataha, it's already available there. When the body reaches there, you think that it's already there. So what do you say? Oh, I went there. In reality, because it's already pervading everything there, then that's how you say that. Just in the space is already pervading everything. If you take a pot and you try to create a pot, it's called pot space. So what do you do? The pot space is actually contained and it's the space there. And you contain the space like this, like the physical body has got, now this is a body. And then you've got this space which is vyoman, which is spread out everywhere. So when the pot breaks, What has happened to the space? The space gets merged with the outer space, everything space. Likewise, you know, the dehi which is inside their body, the body death is, dies. Everything is merged into one, it's pervading, all pervading, sarvagata. It's currently residing inside his body as contained, just like the pot space. But when the pot breaks, the space is released. And it merges with the overall space. There's no more distinction between pot space and overall space. Likewise, our also body also is entwined Yoveda Nihitam Guhayam Paramet Vyoman. So Vyoman means the space, just like this is hidden deep inside. That's what Vedas says. That's why death is not to be afraid of. See, even a jnani also, when the physical death comes, there will be a little bit of jittery will be there. Because our abhimanam with the deha is so strong. Imagine that, you know, we have been living for so many years with this buddhi. Suddenly if you tell that, you know, you are not the body, you have to let go of the body. Imagine difficulty to observe. And you wouldn't want to do that because it's praying for you. You like it. It is through which you enjoy everything. How can you say that, you know, okay, tomorrow you don't have a body, means what you will do? You don't know what to do now. But there should be something available for you to do, right? If you say, tomorrow you don't have a body, what will you do? You can't think of anything else. It's a difficult thing, understand. But Shastram says ultimately this also has to emerge into the ultimate knowledge. Because the ultimate I-sense also has to be dissolved. He says the I-sense is there, the thought is there. It's also a manifestation of thought only. So Stanuhu, see, I'm in between, I'm giving you some vision which is very deep. I'll explain to you that in other Upanishad class which we have. So do not get too worried about it, that sort of thing, don't go into your head. I'm trying to give you different perspective of how deep the topic is and what Krishna is trying to say here. He's just trying to skim the top. He's not even gone into anything of detail at all. See, Bhagavad Gita is actually, gives a vision of how to live a life and how to, this particular chapter is very important. Very important because it gives you this vision of the Sankhya Yoga, of Jnana Yoga, which will free you from all miseries, all the misconceptions you have about yourself as a physical body, the doer, or the thing is there. It will all get a little bit clear. So, Stanuhu Achalaha, so I am immovable. Then, Sanatana, another word, eternal. It is not something which has just come only when you take birth. It's available all the time, so eternal. How many janmas you have taken, you don't know. You would have actually come from a very small insect. And we have got this human body. And tomorrow we may again transmigrate to different species depending upon our karmas. What do we do in this janma will determine our previous next birth. And already what we have done before also will determine. So all these things are important. That's why satsang is very important. If you are spending your time in this kind of satsang or activities, I can guarantee you the Shastram says that you will never be, you will definitely be better than you were before. You will get definitely a better birth. Supposing you should die halfway without getting jnanam or without getting anything. Nothing to worry because in next birth you will be born in a family which will allow you to continue your samskaras from where you left. That is why you will see that some of the children which you see from 4 years old, 5 years old, they are stars. Do you think the mother and the father have created them? The father and mother are just nimitta karana. They are only, it's a reason only. This girl or the boy who is already born to them, she has already got purva karmas. Some samskara from past has already come there. And thereby, he or she is able to live in a family which is supportive for her to develop the skills and pursue what she wants. If one is a good musician or a good singer or dancer from young age, if you think, you know, the parent or the father or the mother is going to influence such age because they themselves don't know about anything about dance, you will see that the father and mother may not have any connection to dance also, or music also, or Shastram also. But yet, the children will have picked up these skills and they would be shining in their own industry, in their own field, correct? So what it tells you is that there is definitely a previous janma, previous birth. Definitely is there. It is guaranteed. But we don't know anything about it and we have to just accept the Shastram saying that the prarabdha karma is there. You you come with that set of karma to live this life, and you pass away, and you come with next set of karma. If you are able to understand the vision of the Shastra in this Janma, then there is no other next Janma for physical, but universe. Again, this is only available for a person or thought for a person who thinks he is taking birth or is going to die. If the person thinks he is not a person taking birth or death, then for such a person there is no death or birth for him, because he already has got the vision through proper study. So, is this clear to you, this verse? Any questions on this? Fairly simple. There is something called, another method called Sthanuhu Nikharana Nyaya. Sthanuhu Nikharana Nyaya. It is available in some, in the other Upanishad called Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. So there, Sthanuhu means like, you know, is firm. Fixing. Right? And Nyaya is also a method of understanding. See, if you want to put a, see, if you want to erect a tall post, see, if you're going to put a pandal or, you know, a marquee or something, where you want to, you know, then you have to put a post, right, first. For post, what you should do, you should first dig a hole. You know, dig a hole so deep that the post can actually first get in, first sit there. Then, after you dig the hole, the post is there, then you have to put some soil around it to support it. So the process of understanding this phase is just like, you know, you have to, for putting this, fixing this post, you know, dig deep. Likewise, you know, our shravana has to be deeper enough. You have to keep on listening, keep on doing shravana. The maranam is a process of where you again see, okay, look, is the post standing tall? Is it shaking or not? Not shaking. Then you put more sand into it, more soil from the support, and then hold it. Now it is holding steady, right? It's called maranam, which is having doubt-free knowledge. So then it is standing fit, then the pole is there, right? Then you enjoy it. This is Nididhyasana, which is where you know now that, okay, the pandal is there now, and I'm enjoying this shade. So this is also a method. So there are lots of methods of giving vision. So Sthanu Nikaran Nyaya, it came to me because I was reading something else. So Sthanu is a word which is used. Then you go to verse 25. Avyaktoyam achintyoyam. Avyaktoyam achintyoyam. Avikaryoyam uchyate. Avikaryoyam uchyate. Avyaktoyam achintyoyam. Avikaryoyam uchyate. Tasmat evam vidit. Vainam. Tasmat evam vidit vainam. Nanushoshitum arhasi. Tasmat evam vidit vainam. Nanushoshitum arhasi. Avyaktyoyam achintyoyam. Avikaryoyam uchyate. Tasmat evam vidit vainam. Anushoshitu marhasi. So again, take the word I am. Avyaktoyam achintyo. So avyaktam I am achintyaha. So I am, you take the first, this. So we are talking about this atma or this attribute, this atma. So this I am, this. What is this atma? Avyaktaha. Avyaktam means, Vyakrutam means which is manifest, Avyakrutam means that which is not manifest. So Avyaktaha means unmanifest. So it's always in unmanifest form and for it to manifest into upadhi, and through the upadhi only it manifests. Then achintya, it is not even an object of thought. Chintana, chintana means thought. It is not even an object of thought, because thoughts are also being reflected in consciousness. So how can that which itself is lending existence to everything else can be known? It's a question. Na ujeti na astamesti, right? Na shayam, you saw that in Dandishvika, right? Swayam vibhati anyani bhasayati sadhanam dhina. You saw that. So means swayam vibhati means that shines itself. Bhasayati sadhanam dhina. So it shines itself without another object to support it, to shine it. In the process of it, it actually illumines everything else here. Like the sun, which is there, is an ultimate illuminator. The sun doesn't need another illuminator to tell that you are the sun. The sun itself, because the nature of the sun is illumination. So our swarupam is illumination. So our own self is, what is our swarupam? Is to illumine. It's our own self is swayam vibhati. So we, our self are illuminators, and in our own presence only everything is seen. If you are not, there's no world. Does this world exist for you? It is not. So you are the ultimate illuminator. And the illuminator itself, all the thoughts which are coming, right? They are actually known to you. The thoughts are known to you, right? So achintya. So chintya means thoughts. Achintya means that which is not known as an object of thought. It's not even an object to be understood. Achintya. Then avikarya, that which is not subject to change. So this atma or this consciousness which we are talking about, it's not subject to change. It doesn't get changed over a period of time. You cannot say that this is a balya atma, this is a yavana atma, this is a jara atma. Atma is only atma. But the atma undergoes, you seem to undergo change depending upon upadhi which is getting changed. So before also in some other verse, dehi no smingyata dehe ummaram yavanam jara. तथा देहांतर प्राप्ति ही तत्र न मुख्यति. सो देहिनोस्मिन् यथा देहे कौमारं यौवनं जरा. सो दिस देह व्हिच इज देयर, इट इज अंडरगोइंग लॉट्स ऑफ चेंजेस फ्रॉम व्हाट कौमारं यौवनं जरा. सो यू आर अ यंग पर्सन, देन यू बिकम अ टीनेजर, एंड देन यू बिकम अ ओल्ड पर्सन, एंड इट कीप्स चेंजिंग. So it's avikaryam is there. This one has got avikaryam. Because you as a knower, you are already there in all the three states. You are there as a balyaha, as ultimate knower. You are there also in the teenagerhood thing, also you are there. And also in the old age, also you will be there. All the three things are known to you. So this does not change. Avikaryaha means it doesn't change. You cannot say that, you know, I once saw the balya atma, now I am going to see the jara atma. Atma is only one. It appears as three different things depending upon what you see. Just like the one sun. If you got 1,000 pots, 100 pots kept with water in the open, and one sun is appearing as 100 suns in the water, in the different pots, can you conclude that there are 100 suns? Can we say there are 100 suns? Only one sun appearing as 100 due to the 100 different pots appearing as upadhi. So the pots are not there. The sun the 100 sons vanish into what? Into the original sun. So not subject to change. So this is not going to change because there are, you know, less number of padi. So it is, it's always there. It is said. So avikaryaha uchyate. It is said like this. So what is said? It is said that this Atma, I am, abhyaktaha, which is unmanifest, achintyaha, that which cannot be even thought about as an object of, you know, it can't be thought about. And it is actually also not avikaryaha. It doesn't subject to change. If you look at the milk, say you buy a packet of milk. The milk, if you don't do anything with the milk, will it remain milk forever? It will actually deteriorate, right? You have to either take it as a curd or something, buttermilk, or it will deteriorate, it will change. Because it is actually an object, it belongs to this prakriti, subject to change, deteriorate. Even if you don't do anything with the milk, if you keep it outside, it will get spoiled, it will start smelling bad, it will rot, you have to throw it away. But the same milk, if you also treat it well, if you add some little curd or something, then you can actually get more curd, you can get buttermilk. It goes to different stages of change. Right? But what is the essence of the whole thing? If you see the ghee also, you will see ghee, right? But the ghee is actually made from butter. The butter is made from the yogurt which you are getting first, right? Because you churn the yogurt and then you get the butter. And the yogurt is made from where? From the milk. So what is the essence in all the continuous things? Only one source of this milk. But appearing as what? As yogurt, as butter, as ghee. So it has gone through changes. Because the nature of the anything objects which is there is subject to change. But this Atma which is there, or the consciousness, is not changing anything. It's just there. So you cannot say that there's happy Atma and there's unhappy Atma now. So you are, say today you are happy. So what do you say? I am happy. And I am happy is also the thought which is actually known through your own consciousness only. And next one you say I am unhappy also. Both are thoughts only. And both thoughts are reflected by the same consciousness. One appearing as two. So there are not two things. One thing appearing as two, depending upon the upadhi or the thought which is manifesting. So very important. So avikaryaha, so it is uchyate. It is said that this Atma does not have any changes, doesn't undergo any changes. It is not an object of thought, achintyaha. This avyaktaha, it is unmanifest. Therefore, tasmat, therefore, evam, in this manner, vidhi means no, vidhitvam enam, so just by knowing, so having understood this, vidhi means, vidh means no, so vidh means no, vidvan means a person knows things, so vidh is a word in Sanskrit called knowledge. And Vidvan is a person who knows the truth. Like this, we got Gunavan, a person who's got good gunas. Like Gunavati, the person who's got, a woman has got good gunas. Dhanavan is a person who's got money. All the van gets added. Atmavan, a person who knows the Atma or the truth of the self. It's called Atmavan. Likewise, it's called Vidvan is a person who knows the truth of the. He knows the truth. With, you know. So having known like this, Nanu Shoshyam Arhasi means, why do you grieve? Shosham, Shoshyam means grief, right? So Nanu means, why? But why? Nanu means a question, what, why? Arhasi, why do you grieve? Having known in this way, that this Atma which is there cannot be cut, cannot be dried, cannot be drowned. And it is available for Nityam, always available there. Sarvagatam, Stanuhu, Achalaha, Avyaktaha, Achintyaha, Avikaryaha. See how many words, how many things are being given there. So what you do should do is, you write these words. Apply these words to any object which you see. You take any object. You can take an object as a wood. Say, let's take a wood also. You see a wood, right? If you can the wood be cut, it can be cut. Right. So chindanti, it can be cut. And it can also be what? Burnt. Right? Because the wood can be fired, can be burnt. If you keep it, keep the wood in the outside in the rain, it can also get wet. If you, you can also drown the wood also in water also. The wood is heavy, heavy. It can go under the water also. It can get drowned. The wood is a manifestation of what? Tree. From the tree, the wood is cut. So the source of the wood is what? Tree. The tree is what? From the Prakriti. The Prakriti is what? The reflection of our expansion of Maya. And Maya is what? The substratum, the power of that is Brahman. So you go back, negate everything toward the Brahman, this consciousness. And Brahman is what is unmanifest. It is manifesting as wood through different upadis, its own power of Maya. Then the prakritis which are there, and nature which is there, which is appearing as jagat, which is there. Tree, and then from the tree, the wood comes into picture. And the wood has got all these attributes. So wood can also be Vyaktaha. It's not Avyakta. Wood is Vyaktaha. It is a manifestation of tree. Then, it's called Chintyaha also. So now we go backwards. Achintyaha, Chintyaha. So it's an object of thought because you can say the tree thought. Tree Vritti is there. Wood Buddhi is there, right? Timber Buddhi is there. Oak Buddhi is there. Wood also, lots of Buddhis are coming, right? This is a timber oak, timber tree. Timber, oak, tasmarin oak, lot of things are there. So again, varieties, see the same wood as can be now classified into different nama rupas. Classify that, correct? Brown wood, black wood, all these colors can be given also. Rotten wood, good wood, lots of examples. So wood also can be an object of thought, it is already known to you. Then avikaryaha. So the wood also can go through changes. See, the wood can be in a table. The same wood also can tomorrow after the table is getting old, get bored. You can chop off all the legs, the top, everything. Give it to a carpenter and you say, make me two stools. He'll give you two stools also. So it goes through changes also. Avikaryaha. So having understood like this, so what you should do is apply the principle of what it is there. And then arrive at the truth. So list down all the qualities which is listed in the verse 23, 24 and 25. Then use your own example, your own, take any object in this universe, any object, including you. You take your physical body also. Physical body also can be what? Can be cut. Can get wet. It can be drowned. It can also be burnt. It is manifest because it is available for experience. You are there as a manifestation of what? Of Brahman is there. Then, Chintyaha is also object of thought because you are able to see, your thoughts are there. Everything you can see, visualize, quantify, objectify, everything you can do, right? So it's an object of thought. Avikaryaha, your body goes through changes. So your body doesn't say the same thing from your small child, from a small, you know, baby, till you've gone through different changes. So these things are not applicable to the other. So that which is not any of this, that which is not any of this, niti niti principle. Not this. You keep negating it. Ultimately, you come to that which can be negated. As you as a knower. So you will see that if I am not there, all this knowledge will not be available for experience. I don't even know anything. So you are the absolute knower at that standpoint of time. So, having understood tasmat evam viditva in tasmat understanding, therefore having understood the Atma like this, or having understood like this. Nāhu śoṣati marhasi, why do you grieve? What is the reason for grieving? I mean, are you grieving for whom? See, the topic is about Arjuna. Arjuna is trying to grieve for what? He is going to kill Bhishma. He is going to do Guru Hatya. Because Dronacharya is there. And he has got a feeling that he is going to kill these people. And he is going to become a Papa Karma. He is going to become a Papi. And by killing all these people, what is the purpose of living? So the topic of discussion now is like Arjuna. You are seeing these people a physical body. But this physical body, even if you don't kill them, somebody will kill them. They are trying to die. You are only nimitta kara. You are only there. They are here because you are just a nimitta kara only. And they are going to die because of the salt. If you don't kill them, if you go to take sannyasa also, they are going to die eventually anyway. If not this Bhishma has got, you know, he's got the wish of, you know, dying on his own wish. But then someday that wish has to come true, right? He cannot be living forever. Someone will come and kill. Or there'll be some other reason for that. So Krishna says, do not be grieved, saying that you are the cause of the problem. Sometimes we say, my God, I tortured so many people, you know, I tortured her when I tortured this person when I was alive. And I am the cause of the problem. I actually killed that person. So you grieve. Because all this also is your own ignorance. If you've done it, see, if you've done the action with a purpose, then definitely you have to bear the consequences. But what it says here is that you do not have to grieve for a person like this. And do not grieve. I mean, grieving is something for the physical body. Grieving has to be taken one level up. Yes, the person is no longer there. I'm not able to connect with the person. But I know that this person is alive. His Atma is alive. He's in some other loka, some other form. And thereby, you can see the fact. So this is what says here, that Arjuna's grief was not for the Atma, it was for the Anatma. Because he had no distinction between Atma and Anatma. Just like a layman, Arjuna is like a person like us. We are all Arjuna only. Where the person doesn't have a view of the Atma and Anatma. The Nityam and Anityam. So thereby Krishna tries to give some examples to Arjuna, saying that these are the some of the attributes. He is going to continue more in the next verse. But so far we have seen about maybe 8 or 9 of them. So you can list all the 8 or 9 of them as Homer, and you can apply this same to any object. I'm not going to ask you if you do the homework or not. It's only for your own exercise. List this object. This attributes of the Atma which you talked about. And you apply any object and see, does it make sense? Does it apply to the rule or does it defy the rule? Any object you take, any object. Then you know that which cannot be, that rule doesn't apply to this is called the Atma. That is the way you know the Atma or the consciousness. Because all the objects which are there, Nama, Rupa, Haitam, everything is there. this clear to you? Any questions on this one? Any questions you got?
No. Absolutely no. You will enter in general. So you are writing like a donkey now.
No, it's not like that.
You got any doubt, Suma? Singapore?
Fine.
Ani Uma? Any doubts?
No.
RK? Suresh?
I'm good. It's very clear.
So hopefully I'm able to convey, what I was trying to say, that we have to get over this, we have the Buddhist slowly. It's difficult to get over it. Because again, when you go back to the same day-to-day life, this Buddhi comes into existence again. All these things are forgotten. See, you may study Gita today. After 1 week, what will happen is, you'll go back to the same scenario where you have to meet the same people again and again. Right? And all this is forgotten. Like the Shastra is out of the window. Anger comes into the picture. Grief comes into the picture. Hurt comes into the picture. Guilt comes into the picture. Right? So the only way, how do you get over this is like, your mind is always the Shastra. See, every person will get affected. Because there are three types of obstacles are there, right? Adi Bhautika also is there. Adhyatmika is one's own, is the obstacle of one's own person. Like you got your own obstacle, you should deal with it. So even though you should be Shastram also, it doesn't mean that there will be occasions when you'll get affected. And it is quite natural. But to know that you're getting affected is what is reflection. And how do you resolve, how do you move forward is important. So Adhyatmika, Adi Devika and Adi Bhautika. All three obstacles are there. Right. So surrounding people also will disturb you. You may get obstacles from people around you, this is an environment which is there where you're working, which will not be conducive for you to do this. There will be obstacles. So you'll have to realize those things. And that's why the Sahana Vavatu mantra will chant. Shanti mantra is chanted 3 times. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. 3 times we chanted for warding off all the 3 obstacles. That any daivika means any natural calamities which are there. You please protect me from that. You also protect me from my own obstacles, my own internal problems, my own thoughts, my own understanding of what it is. I'm not able to do this. So you protect me from that. And there will be also people around you who will actually be causing you trouble, hindrances, or somehow to get to this Brahma Vidya. It is nothing to do with you. It is their own karma they are doing. It's their own thoughts. But you have to be strong. Like this Thanu Nikhara and Naya told you, right? Like if you want to fix a post, you have to first, be very, very steady, very, very firm. Like, look, I want to do this. So if you say, no, I think, I'll see, the hole is not deep enough, then naturally it's not going to stand. So you have to dig deep. So digging deep, what you have to really prepare your mind totally. You have to really prepare very hard. And preparation is very important. Focus is important. Everybody, all of us has got problems, including me, everyone in this class who are there. Everyone is a grihastha, everybody has got problems. There's not a single person here who can say that I'm a king, I've got no problem. I also got problems. I deal with my own set of problems, I come to the class. For 3 years, I've been somehow doing this. But I got my set example, now I've got even support from a teacher. So everything is worded off. The teacher has given a clean license that he should do this, let him continue to do this, he should teach. So now, other people, so this Adhyatmi, Adi Bhautika also has gone slowly morning now. Appa varum. See, there it will come sometimes in between. But it will come, it will just go away because of, the the amount of focus you're doing, the amount of effort you're doing. So you people get to consider the fact. See, if you come into the class every day, every week, 3-4 weeks, there will be obstacles. After some time, they'll get, okay, my God, okay, this is useless space. Just leave them alone. And then that's the freedom you should take. I'm sure everybody of you will have the same issues. Like I also got the same issue. But one has to decide what you want to do. This is the only decision point, only where you can decide for yourself. Nobody else can decide for you. You cannot say that, okay, no, I'm going to get freedom for this person. I'm going to do moksha for this person. No, moksha is only for you. Other person may or may not get it, has got nothing to do with you. Why are you worried about other person? Because if you worry about other person, then what are you going to do? So no two people actually can go together. No two people are taking birth together. They live together and then they go on their own way. So it's only temporary. In the middle, you are there. Get onto the bus, you travel together in a bus, you get off at your own bus stop. But you must know the destination point. You cannot say that I'll get off exactly the same destination every time. Can you do that? You cannot be together all the time. Someday you'll have to get on early, someday you have to get on late. Or we even go to work also. We are different. Can we say that I'll go to the same office as you are working 24? We can't do that. One day it will change. So what it tries to tell you is that one has to have this vision, or one has to have this dhrudanishchaya, very, very firm commitment that, okay, I want to pursue this. And this is the only objective in life. I want to devote some time for it. I want to make a time for it. And I will shuffle all my priorities, whatever I want to do. It's very important. And if you have that firm commitment, as what it says here, then the vision, the focus is clear. Arjuna has got two problems. Arjuna is not very clear which way to go. He wants to get Shreyas. He wants to know whether prayers is good for him. Right. He doesn't know what is Shreyas and prayers. Again, another prakriya, which is talked about in the Kathopanishad. He doesn't have Nitya, Anitya, Vitya, Vastu Veka. He doesn't have Anatma and Atma Veka. All this is confusing a lot. And he doesn't know which way to go. Luckily, Bhagavan is there with him, Krishna is there, giving guidance. So for us, Shastram is there. So supposing Shastram is not there, we'll totally be lost in a jungle like this. We'll do whatever we think is right. A lot of people do. What I think I'll try to do ethically right. But ethically right does not mean that it's actually spiritually correct also. So one has to be a spiritual person first. Then automatically all the religious ethical will come to picture. So we'll continue from the next class, verse 56, where he talks about very important verse, two verses, very important. Insignificance of a lifetime means this life has got such a low value. Like, you understand that this has got, and very, very beautiful verses. So 26-27 is one topic which we'll discuss next class. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om. So I'll see most of you in the Thursday class on Dirdashi Vekva, where we are going to discuss the nature of Brahma. See, the beauty of this, we are discussing now chapter 2, Atma or the Consciousness. In Dirdashi Vekva, we are going to see a different view or different unfolding technique of the nature of Brahma. So you will be able to connect these two together to get a wider vision as to how these Upanishads don't contradict each other. They always support each other. Oh.